Wednesday, March 18th, 2026, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in Revelation chapter 15, starting at verse 1, with part 2 of yesterday's message titled, It Is Finished.
He has brought me through to glory, and he has shown himself and proved himself to be Lord because he saved me. He showed his great power in the earth. He delivered every last one of his people. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? You alone are holy. All nations bow to you, for your judgments have been seen, and we are saved. Praise God. It is finished should mean everything to you today as you worship the Lord.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
When Israel was being beaten, when Israel was under all kinds of bondage, when Israel was being attacked by the beast, when Israel was being assaulted by the beast and their children were being assaulted and thrown into the Nile, remember? You think God sat idle through all that? You think God was off on a vacation? I think that's what we think about sometimes. He's just up there, you know, on a lounge chair. Revelation is saying your God is with you. And your God's doing things. I want you to think now again back to the plague study, because I trust you all remember it so well. Right? I don't even remember it that well, if that makes you feel better. This is what I remembered as I studied this week and went back and saw that I had forgotten. Listen to this. But the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh." Insert the beast there. Now you're going to see what I'm going to do to this beast. Those plagues were utterly awesome, weren't they? What did he do to them? What did he do to Pharaoh? Put that guy on his knee. He hit that nation so hard. Wham! All these judgments, and he kept hitting them. And it all led to the 10th plague, didn't it? In the death of the firstborn. And boom, as soon as that happened, they were set free by the blood of the Lamb. Well, Revelation 15 has put us right there. There's an entire Antichrist system that has been described after you. You often can't even see what he's planning, what he's doing. It's holding you. It's attempting, chapter 14 said, to lead captivity and lead you into captivity. It's attempting to control your hearts. It's attempting to control your loyalties. It's attempting to grab your children and lure them in with all those false voices that we talked about. That's the world. What did God do to Egypt? Well, he plagued them, didn't he? And he plagued them good. You know what God is doing right now before you're going to cross into the sea, into the fire, and be on the other side? The same thing. The same thing. He's plaguing the earth. Look at verse 7. You will notice there it says, no one is able to enter the temple. This is the heavenly temple. Until the seven plagues, this is the last plagues, the seven last plagues of the seven angels are finished. Same story. You're not going to cross over. Now, God could have put an end to it quick, couldn't he? You're not going to cross over until he finishes the plagues. That's the whole emphasis here. You're not going to pass through the sea and the fire and be in glory singing until the plagues are done. Now, what that tells you then as the people of the Lord is it's immense moment of comforting you and saying he is doing and accomplishing something he intends to accomplish before he passes you through. He had kept his people through the plagues, didn't he? He covered them. Remember Goshen? You can think of Goshen. No matter all the hatred, no matter all the opposition happening in our day, God plagues now just like before. And you'll notice then that we have the last round of plagues in chapter 16. Now, the bowls of wrath. It started with, remember, seals, and it went to trumpets, which announce, and now these things are poured out in full. It's an escalation telling us of the intensity of the plagues before the end. Even though they encompass the entire time, it is now full pouring out of wrath. So we have the seven seals back in chapter 8, went to the trumpets, now we're at bowls. Here we have the closest form of plagues that we know that hit Egypt, and they'll be described in that language in chapter 16. You'll have loathsome sores described, you'll have a sea turned to blood, you'll have darkness, you'll have pain, you'll have frogs, which he calls deceptive spirits. It's the same kind of phenomenons, often spiritual, that are being described. Now, the question that we have to answer this morning is, why did God not just put an end and pull them out right away? Well, we know he has an evangelization plan, a witness, a great commission to the ends of the earth. That's why this is not ended yet. But there's another purpose that Revelation captures. And you can discern that from what the Lord said to Moses about why he was letting this time pass to finish the plagues. Listen to this. Here's what he told Moses in Exodus 7. I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go out of his land. But I'm going to harden his heart. I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. And through that, I will multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. Pharaoh, even though I do that, will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring my hosts, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great acts of judgment. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring out the people of Israel from among them. I'm going to separate them. Why did God plague? Through the plagues, he would show, did you hear it? I am the Lord. Think of the center of the song now. Who is not going to fear the Lord? Who's crazy enough not to fear the Lord? The plagues are going to show he is the Lord. And as he delivered his people, he had to deliver all of them because that's how he would show himself to be the Lord, by saving them. So here's the beast. Here's this powerful foe leading captivity. Look at all that's happening in the earth right now. Look at all the hatred going on in the earth. I mean, you know, we've rehearsed this. You can't watch all this unfold and say there's a lot happening behind the scenes here of spiritual opposition, the warfare that's going on, the battle. Everything seems to be spinning out of control. Deception like never before. And guess what God's doing through all this right now? Well, John describes these angels as having the plagues to do what? Finish the wrath of God. No one is able to enter the temple until the wrath of God is finished on the world. You know, right now he's fulfilling his wrath. I'm not talking about eternal right now. I'm talking right now, he's fulfilling his wrath. That was the purpose of God in the plagues. Revelation 15 then becomes an answer to the careless mentality of people in this time. William Hendrickson has been really helpful. I still think his little book on Revelation is just gold. He says things very well and seems to capture the heart of the meaning in these chapters well. But remember what he said last time that I quoted. On the eve of judgment, people are easygoing, indifferent, unconcerned, listless, careless. Isn't that just what we have the hardest time with in the church today? I think I said last time, if we believe that hell is real and eternal and judgment is against sin is a righteous judgment by God, and is a place of actual eternal punishment, if we really believe that's coming, it would create in everyone a listening all the more to the way of escape, wouldn't it? It should. But it doesn't. People just continue to go about as they always have with the answer, with the attitude of 2 Peter 3. The world has always been here. The world is always going to go on. One generation comes, another generation comes, and one generation comes and leaves. And so they live like it'll never, ever happen. Well, God doesn't just sit back as he has a church in the earth and publishes all these calls constantly over and over and over and over that he sends pastors to do. Come to Jesus. Receive his good news. Believe the gospel. You can escape the wrath to come. As all these listless, careless people don't take that seriously and don't take his worship seriously and just yawn through all these calls, you think God is inactive? Just like he hit Pharaoh, he's hitting the world. What happened in Egypt? He plagued. What did Pharaoh do? Hardened his heart. Hendrickson again. When the wicked, often warned by the trumpets of judgment, continue to harden their hearts, death finally plunges them into the hands of an angry God. But even if they die, they may have crossed the deadline, the line between God's patience and his wrath. Why is that so important? Well, it addresses one of the most common problems we have of people who say, I'm going to get right with God later. I'm going to deal with my sin problem later. I'm going to live it up now in the present and worry about this later. And that keeps people from bowing the knee, doesn't it? They know the truth. They've been taught the truth. Truth be told, they love their independence. The prospect of making some kind of commitment to Jesus is so unattractive to them because it just seems so restrictive in the earth. What are they going to have to stop doing? What are they going to have to give up? They love too much of the world. How much of a problem has that been for us? How much of a problem is it in our own hearts? We know this. This is a serious, very serious sermon, isn't it? That's why this section is important. It's saying to us, you don't want to play with unbelief. You don't want to play with it. For if you're refusing Jesus, you're refusing some very important things. I think if you can look now at this section and see a few things that are actually woven in here, it's really remarkable what he's doing here. Revelation 15 says, you in this life have to be covered like Israel was covered. How did Israel escape the plagues and get out of Egypt? The blood of the lamb that was shed. I mean, you know that story. This is exactly what is being emphasized here with certain things that are happening. You'll notice here in verse 9 of the next chapter that people don't take that message seriously. So what do they say in verse 11, actually? Well, they did not repent and give him glory. They blasphemed God because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent. God has been through his judgments and gospel proclamation, calling people, giving people opportunities to repent. The heart has been so calcified. God is now pictured as, in this section, fulfilling his wrath as he pours out bold judgments on the earth. And it leads people in all of this. The shocking statement should be, they harden their hearts and calcify their hearts to him. Now this is what's hard about this particular section. I know what you're thinking right now. I was thinking about this week. As I'm preaching this right now, the largest hurricane on recorded history is happening right this minute. Right now, as I'm preaching. And everyone's taken opportunity to try to read God's providence on this. I guess that's why I did the reading of the law this morning a certain way. We don't ever want to look at something and say God did this because such and such a people are such bad sinners. That's what preachers have done, and that just wrecks the whole thing, doesn't it? It'd be easy for us to look at the Bransons and these people who are missing the whole point of this and hardening their hearts and wanting to shoot at the thing and say those things. But make no mistake about it. We have to answer in the way that the Scriptures describe these things. The Bible tells us that there is a final judgment coming and that God is judging the world now. He's showing His power now. And He shows it through all kinds of phenomenons in nature, showing that He's king over it. And what should be the response? Everyone's asking the question right now, where's this coming from? Everyone's thinking about that. Well, it should lead everyone to bow the knee and recognize Him. They should see His existence. That's what Romans 1 says, that all this going on, even the creation, what is it? Is the effect. They should be able to see His eternal power and Godhead. They should see it. They should see His greatness. They should see that there's a king. And we should consider our guilt. We should consider our apathy, our lack of bowing the knee to Him. We should believe in His provision to flee the wrath to come, as Paul said, knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. We should see the salvation of the Lord. And that's what's woven in here this morning. One of you walked up to me last Sunday and said, you know, it's interesting in all this judgment here, I keep seeing what Jesus did. And I said, you know, it is fascinating, isn't it, that you have a cup mentioned, you have outside the city mentioned, and that you have it is finished mentioned. Huh. All the language here is the same. It was Jesus who said, I must drink the cup of the wrath of God. It was Jesus who was crucified outside the city. It is Jesus who said, as He was dying, finishing the wrath of God, it is finished. It's the same language here. Well, that's a remarkable thing to think about. That verse 10 speaks of the full extent to judgment, being that drinking the wine of the wrath of God is poured out in full strength, and the cup of His indignation is just what Jesus did. When Jesus received the sour wine, what did He say? It's finished. And He bowed His head and gave up His spirit. You know why He did that? So that you never have to face it. You see what's being described here? If you don't have Him, you have to face it. You have to face the cup. You're going to be outside of the heavenly city forever. And you are going to, in this life, experience a measure of wrath that fills up so that it can be said God finishes His wrath in this life too. That's how God's proved Himself in the earth. The way everyone is going to on the last day see Him as the Lord God Almighty is going to be when they look at a people redeemed by His power and His wonderful Son, that He did that for you. And so this beautiful scene then is set in front of us when He says, I looked and I saw a sea of glass with fire and those who have the victory over the beast. And they overcame Him, how so? By the blood of the Lamb. That's exactly what John would say. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith, we're tied to Jesus. We overcome, we believe, we beat the beast. And what are we singing? Same song. We're singing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. In other words, it's the same story that you've ever studied in the Bible right now fulfilled. We're saying to the Lord, great and marvelous are Your works. Lord God Almighty, just and true are Your ways. O King of the saints, who shall not fear You, O Lord, and magnify Your name? For You alone are holy. For all the nations shall come and worship before You, for Your judgments have been manifested. It is finished goes two ways, though. It is finished goes two ways. Everything that we've ever studied about our Lord, this is what I want to close with today, is now being raised that those who have made the choice to follow the beast, the entire system of the world, and believe its lie and refuse to believe are presented in these chapters as having to face what Jesus faced. The cup for the wrath poured out in full measure is the eternal punishment that awaits. Whoever does not believe goes outside the city. And the whole effect of this is to say, Take it seriously today. People go about their life thinking this is never going to happen. Many people think, I've just been to too many funerals. People who have lived completely unbelieving lives who are preached right into heaven. I don't know. There are too many people today who really believe that even in hell. So that means that when they die, they believe. They're headed right up on into heaven. How many Hollywood stars say it? They got another star today. It's a terrible place. And the particular warning of chapter 15 is to say, take the Lord and his salvation seriously. Why would anyone want to face this when Jesus is saying, I've done it, and I'm offering freely to give my life to you? Why? What a deadly game to play with your life. What a deadly game to play with your life. God is sending the climax of judgments now. And a people who choose this, who choose to reject his son, his anger is going to be brought to the same point of when Jesus said, it's finished. He pours out his judgments completed on a world that walks this path. And then what follows is eternal. Now you see why I said the heart of this section then is verse 4? Who is not going to fear the Lord? Who's not going to believe? Who's not going to trust him? What madness would make people want to face the cup of his wrath? Why would people want to be outside the city? Come to the Savior. Trust him. And you'll know it's going to be the delight of your heart hearing this great story that you're going to sing about forever in glory. He took the cup for me. He said it's finished for me. He went outside the city for me. So I don't have to ever face any of those things. And that's why I pass through the sea and the fire untouched, saved. You see, you know this story. He has brought me through to glory. And he has shown himself and proved himself to be Lord because he saved me. He showed his great power in the earth. He delivered every last one of his people. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? You alone are holy. All nations bow to you, for your judgments have been seen, and we are saved. Praise God. It is finished should mean everything to you today as you worship the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us today. We know it will accomplish what you have determined in a very serious message and sobering message of what is to come. We also are mindful that Jesus paid the price. And just like Israel was brought out, passed through the sea because of the blood of the Lamb, so too we are. And we sing a wonderful song today. We have so much to be thankful for, but give us all to fear the Lord in reverence and awe, to be a thankful people, to worship the King, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, for we know that it is there, as John said, by faith. It is faith that overcomes the world, as we have received a Savior. Thank you for proving your power. And help us, Lord, to always live in humble recognition that you are King. And see the joy now that you've given to us. You don't desire that we live with moping, moaning lives, but thankful for so great a salvation and desiring that everyone would come and enter the kingdom and be saved from the wrath to come. In Jesus' name we pray these things.
That's all the time we have for today. We thank you for listening to us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Be sure to tune in next time to hear more from Pastor Chris. Thanks again. Until next time, God bless.